Now, for Australian universities, 2025 has been something of an annus horribilis, with an estimated 3,500 job cuts, the cancellation of courses, and a public and political mood that sometimes feels hostile to the higher education sector. In a moment, we'll hear from an elder statesman, David Gonski, who stepped down this week as the Chancellor of the University of New South Wales, a role he held for 20 years. But first, we wanted to hear from the people who universities should be all about, the students. So we went to the University of Wollongong, one of the institutions that's faced a financial crunch.
Honestly, I'm quite disappointed with the uni. Right now, I'm actually not 100% sure I'll even have a course here anymore. So I'm looking towards other unis at this point. That would mean moving to the city. I would be away from all the great friends I've met here, and I'd just have to kind of restart in a new spot, which is stressful and not fun.
We're having this conversation at University of Wollongong, where the performance program has been really gutted. And, you know, having worked in the arts sector prior to starting my PhD, I think we're going to see the legacy of, you know, all of these cuts down the track. We're not seeing it right now. We're going to see it when the next generation hasn't had the opportunity to get the education to be able to participate and contribute to the creative sector in the same way. And we're moving towards more and more like universities as business. In that paradigm, creative research really struggles to fit in.
Well, from the young to a wise elder, David Gonski, a surname that has become synonymous with education. This week he stepped down as the Chancellor of the University of New South Wales, a post he first took up in 2005. I caught up with him yesterday afternoon. David Gonski, welcome to Saturday Extra, and congratulations on two decades as the Chancellor of the University of New South Wales.
Thank you.
I always think of you as a man of steady state emotion, someone who's very calm and measured and controlled. But I wonder this week, did you get a little emotional as you said farewell as Chancellor?
Yes, of course I'm emotional. I mean, 20 years is a long time to be a Chancellor. I've enjoyed it. Obviously, it's not easy all the time, but I love the problems. I like problem solving. And I have enjoyed being there and contributing to what I regard as a great cause and a great university.
They gave you a standing ovation when you gave your valedictory address. What were your parting words? What were your farewell thoughts?
Well, my farewell comment, by the way, was it's been an honour. Hmm. And I don't think when I said it, people realised I had actually finished. So there was a bit of a pregnant pause. But when they realised that was it, they all stood up and I was very, very grateful. A wonderful group of people.
We've spent a lot of time on this program over the past few months talking about the challenges facing higher education. And I wonder how in the 25th year of the 21st century do you run a successful university? Because the University of New South Wales is successful. You're in the top 20 in the global rankings.
I'm very proud of the university. The first thing I would say to you, which of course you know, that the Chancellor is like a chairman. I don't run the university. I oversee those who run the university. I think if I've done anything right, I've made some very good choices of people to be my vice-chancellor. I've had four in the 20 years. And I think that we've done some very good things to take what was a great university and make it even greater. It was almost, if you like, pregnant 20 years ago, ready to basically give birth to something that's in the top 50, and we got it to the top 20. I think there is a spirit at our university, a spirit of technology, a spirit of learning things, a spirit of basically being involved in one's community. And it's a spirit we were able to tap into and take to the next stage.
Let's isolate a few of the challenges. The funding model, for a start. In the 1980s, the federal government provided 80% of the funding for universities. Now it's 40%. The expectation was the shortfall would be made up to a large extent by attracting foreign students. Then the caps on foreign students came in. How tough a financial climate is it at the moment for the higher education sector?
Well, obviously, if you cap where you make your a large part of your living that's not given to you by the government, it does make it tough. There's no doubt about it. But I must say we have been very well run over the years. And we have sought to make sure that our balance sheet can do the things we want to do. Obviously, if we can get more money, I believe we could do more. But at the moment, we are balancing both size and also what's available to us from that size. And that's quite a juggling act, but I think we're doing it pretty adequately.
You're one of the few universities that actually has a surplus, I think. I mean, how have you pulled that off?
Well, the first thing you've got to understand about surpluses, they're not the surpluses that I know in business. It used to be, way back when I became Chancellor, that the government funded buildings. And remember, we don't have a capital per se. I mean, the bulk of any university's capital is their campus, and the campus is not for sale and needs upgrading very regularly. So our surplus, and yes, you are right, we will have a surplus this year, and we've had surpluses many times during my 20 years. That surplus is all there to build the buildings, provide the better IT, and improve the amenities for both our researchers and our students. It's not something that goes into the hands of those who own the university or whatever. So I actually think surplus is a bad word. Huh. I'm just not allowed, according to accounting standards, to change it to another word.
Well, let's talk about university governance, your area of expertise. This week, the final report of a Senate inquiry into the quality of governance at Australian universities was handed down. That inquiry found there's a big gap between how university leaders and their governing bodies view their own performance and the views of students and staff, who are often faced with opaque decisions and little or no accountability. Is that a fair assessment?
I'm happy to talk about my university. It would be totally impertinent for somebody exiting to suddenly become an expert on 41 universities. Talking about mine, I would be very surprised, and I believe I do know a lot about my university, that that is a right conclusion for the University of New South Wales. I think we've taken a lot of time over the years to make sure that our staff, and by the way, our students, who are after all our consumers, do know what's going on and the decisions, and are involved in our decisions. And we make decisions, hopefully, consistent with what they're doing, and they hopefully make their decisions consistent with what we're doing.
Let's get you on government policy. Where are you on the Job Ready graduate scheme, brought in by the Morrison government to essentially make science degrees cheaper but arts degrees more expensive? Some art degrees now are $55,000. But the thinking was that STEM subjects had more economic utility. What's your thinking about the Jobs Ready graduate
scheme? I am and have always been against that policy. And by the way, I'd argue, and you know, sometimes you can talk about a stopped watch tells the right time twice a day. Mm. Well, in my case, I absolutely believe the coming of AI will prove that my attitude to this is correct.
How so?
We need to educate people way beyond just science and so on. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with science. There's nothing wrong. I believe in STEM and all of those ideas. But I do believe also in the traditional forms of education, learning about history, learning about art, learning about some of the less targeted ideas, so that your ideas can in fact grow and you can adopt an attitude when you are making decisions way beyond just the situation that you're dealing with. So I feel it's wrong to say we won't educate generally. What we'll do is only specific education. We need people to be educated and then perhaps move to a specific. And by the way, I'm not even sure I'm against people being generally educated and stay generally educated. I think it's a plus, and it'll be a strength for universities as AI comes in, because it will allow us as humans to demonstrate what is good about being a human.
You're embracing artificial intelligence. There are a lot of people who are kind of worried how that is going to be used by students and also academics. You don't see a threat from AI?
Well, firstly, can I say, I can understand that some people worry about AI because it's something new. But personally, I see it as an enormous opportunity. I believe that AI is something that should help us do our jobs better. Mm. And you're going to say to me, well, won't some people lose their jobs? Some people might, but I believe new jobs will come on, and with retraining from good universities like mine, they may be able to move to those jobs. In net terms, I'm not expecting growing unemployment amongst humans. I believe AI will change what sort of jobs there are and hopefully will give people more excitement in their lives, more enjoyment, and indeed using what humans are good at, our creativity, our caring, our heart. Actually, I'm very excited about AI, a bit disappointed I'm older than I would probably want to be.
You're listening to ABC Radio National with me, Nick Bryant, on Saturday Extra, and I'm interviewing David Gonski, who stepped down this week as the Chancellor of the University of New South Wales. You were talking there about job creation, and universities have a big role to play in that, I think you believe. And the University of New South Wales, of course, some big breakthroughs. I mean, on solar energy. I mean, this time last year, we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of solar energy, developed, pioneered at the University of New South Wales by Professor Martin Green. Other countries, I think, have really sort of harnessed the commercial potentiality of that technology in a way perhaps that Australia hasn't. I mean, is that a problem? There's a bit of a breakdown here, a bit of a disconnect between Australian universities and the commercialization of their ideas.
Look, I think that Australian universities generally have taken the view that it's their job to do the research and not to unduly profit from it, but it's part of the remit of a good university. I also think that's quite a nice way to do it, because it is basically saying to those who want to research it, to those who want to take it into business, that the opportunity is there. The problem in Australia, in my opinion, is we don't respect research enough. And by the way, that's not just in the world of government or whatever, that's also in industry where I work. I believe we should be excited by research. I believe we should fund it, particularly where we're an industrial partner, and we should be looking at the new things we can develop.
Do you think to a certain extent universities in Australia have lost the knack of telling a positive story about themselves? I mean, there's been criticism of universities for becoming almost like firms in terms of generating money through foreign students. You know, you've had the problem with these sort of fat cat salaries amongst vice chancellors. It seems the university sector has been on the defensive for so many years. It's lost the knack of telling a more positive story about itself.
Well, I want to say firstly, there is a very positive story to be told. I mean, I do believe that as a population, we should be embracing what universities are doing. You mentioned foreign students. If I may, I'd like to talk about those, because I have perhaps a completely different view to many about foreign students. I'm really excited about the concept of educating foreign people in this land. Mm. Firstly, I believe it gives one a soft diplomatic benefit that is second to none. It's as good as having a rugby league team involved in a national competition that happens to be in Papua New Guinea. It may be better. I can tell you that I have met dignitaries who run countries throughout the Southeast Asian network, and so many come up to me and say, I went to UNSW. I'm aware they've been to lots of other universities. This is an enormous positive. The second thing is, don't we have an obligation as humans, where we've got the most wonderful education system, why don't we offer it to people and be proud of the fact that international people come here to learn? And the final one is the one probably most people, knowing that I'm from business, would sprout, and it's true. It is great for our economy. Usually one foreign student who comes here for a 2 or 3 year course brings 5 visitors with them during the term they're here. Those visitors go and be tourists here. I would really urge, rather than sort of saying these are international students and they're bad because they, you know, populate our accommodation and so on, why don't we just call them educational tourists? And as soon as you do that, you realise what they are. Wonderful people trying to get educated in a good country and bringing a lot with them.
I think there's a certain amount of hostility towards foreign students at the moment because there's a kind of rise in anti-immigration sentiment. And I wonder whether there is a hostility towards Australian universities because I've detected since coming back here a kind of rise in anti-intellectualism. Patrick White used to talk about the mind in Australia being the least of all possessions. Donald Horne, who was an academic at UNSW, wasn't he? He used to speak of the victory of the anti-mind. I wonder whether the public mood and the political mood has become more hostile towards the higher education sector. Do you sense that?
Being an intellectual is something which is often seen as a negative. In some places, it should not be a negative. We do need people to think as intellectuals. If you say that our university is intellectual, you haven't visited us. There are all sorts of people. I mean, we have 82,000 students registered on our campus. They're not all intellectuals. And by the way, at the moment, because I only stepped down really at the end of this month as Chancellor, the Chancellor's not an intellectual. I think that we should be savouring people from different walks of life coming onto a campus and basically taking from that campus something wonderful, whether it's to increase their intellect, whether it's to increase their technical abilities, or whether it's to increase just their understanding of the world. I think that's a fantastic thing. I have heard many times people say that they see universities as elite, they see them as rich, and often they see them as, you know, as people who are not in the real world. I dispute that. And I must say, when you look at 82,000 people, I'm sure I'm going to find a hell of a lot of people I can demonstrate to you. Don't display those things. And we're not elite. It is a wonderful place, a mixture of races coming together for different thoughts, different ideas, and above all, I hope, in the case of our university, to use their hearts, their minds, and also their hands to make sure something happens for the better.
What legacy do you leave behind at the university that you were the Chancellor of and the university that you studied at as an undergraduate?
I think that for 20 years, I helped the system of our university work so that now our university is in the top 20. Now our university has a situation where its campus is not the ugly duckling that it was 20 years ago. It's lovely. You know, when I sort of walk around and talk to students, they're proud to be there. I think that that's a bit of a legacy. And I think the final thing is, when I look at what research we're doing, I mean, my late father was a brain surgeon, so I have an interest, a very uneducated interest, in brain tumours and that sort of thing. I am so excited by what we're doing at our uni, particularly in children's cancers and children's brain tumours. It's wonderful.
David Gonski, you have a surname that is synonymous with education. That's quite some feat.
I was involved as the chair of a review. I didn't aim for my name to become synonymous either with the review or, for that matter, with education. Obviously, there was a great deal of advertising at the time, and I've got to be honest with you, I'm quite proud of what we put up. I really believe in the needs-based funding system, and I really, really still believe that our funding formula is the correct one.
You still give a Gonski?
I would give a Gonski, and I'd like to give a Gonski for at least the rest of my natural days.
David Gonski, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
It's a pleasure.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.